sollte es das kommen. Topic remains anchored on hope, how to remain hopeful in the midst of hopelessness and uncertainties. Praise the Lord. We are welcome to another episode of the Good Success Podcast yet again today. It's been a wonderful time over the past few weeks that we've been going through the topic called How to Never Fail Again. And we were able to look at the three-dimensional fail-proof success system of the kingdom. We were able to understand that to actually live a fail-proof life, we need to grow in wisdom, need to grow in stature, and that stature represents all the responsibilities that you and I have to take to experience that success that God has promised us. That talks about the things I have to do, the things you have to do. And then the last dimension, which is the third dimension, is the favor factor. The favor is what makes the difference. The favor is what grants the speed. The favor is what opens up the doors of opportunities. That's what we learned over the past 3 weeks. I'm excited because we're going to be looking at a new topic in the next few weeks. And the topic remains anchored on hope. How to remain hopeful in the midst of hopelessness and uncertainties. Let's look at the story of Abraham. There's something that comes to my mind. What did Abraham find? What did Moses find? What did Daniel find? What did Job find? What did Jesus find? We know he's God, yes, but what about the disciples? What did these people find? That despite the fact that the hope was set before them, yet it took several years, several decades for most of them to even get to where God promised them. Yet they were stable in hope. What did Abraham find? It took 25 years. He was called at about 75, and it took 25 years for him to see the promise. See, this is not that my pastor said. This is not that my prophet said. God told him directly that you are going to have a child, and the seed you're going to have will be like the sand of the sea. He had encounter with God, direct encounter with God, and it took 25 years. What about Moses? Moses at 40, he began to have this glimpse of the future in him. He began to have this hope, this future, and it took another 40 years before he was able to see the reality of it. He was lost in the wilderness of Midian, there serving another man who maybe does not even worship God. And yet, Abraham, this hope was still in him. What about David? David was anointed by Samuel. It was said about Samuel that his words did not fall to the ground. Yet, it took about 12 years after being anointed for him to get to the throne. Guess what? He wasn't going up. He was filled with troubles of all manner. He was running from pillar to post, running from Palestine or Philistine or whatever they were called then. He was running from there, acting as a madman, all manner of things that did not even look like the future God had promised him. But how did this man keep up with hope? How did Abraham stay in hope? How did Moses stay in hope? The same thing with Daniel and his friends. This man stood for God, all manner of things. They denied themselves of food, in fire, in the lion's den, and all these things. These were the experiences of these people, yet they stayed firm in hope. What about Job? Job was confirmed righteous by God himself. See, this one is not a matter of people saying, oh, he's a good man, or a king saying, oh, I've approved of him. God said, Job is a righteous man. The devil also confirmed that he's a righteous man. It's not only God, even the devil, Satan, said, yes, he's righteous. However, what came as a result of that? He began to see negative circumstances that may have lasted for months upon months. Boils all over his body, sick. And it just looked like there was nothing that looks like God around him. Yet, he did not give up hope. His wife, the closest person to him, said, "Just curse God so that I can get angry with you and kill you." Yet, he stayed firm in hope. Remember, the topic is anchored on hope. How do I keep my hope up? How do I anchor my hope? How do I anchor my life on hope? So that no matter what happens, I will still remain strong and firm. How? How do I do this? We must know today that hope is always positive, never negative. What is hope? Hope is the state of your heart which describes your ability to see the future. Hope is a matter of the heart. Hope is something in you. Hope is you seeing the lights at the end of the tunnel. Like, imagine if somebody is in a long tunnel. Let me explain what a tunnel is. It's like you have a long pipe that carries fuel, maybe a big one, and then somebody is forced into that tunnel. And then the distance of that pipe is maybe 20 kilometers. And then you can just see that light at the end of it. You are not at that end, but you can see that light. Hope can be described like that. What makes hope different from faith? Faith, on the other hand, is the action taken based on your hope that is built in or on the Word of God. Faith is built on hope, and that is why hope is very important, if not almost more important than faith, because there is no faith without hope. The Bible says in Hebrews 11 that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So, it talked about hope. Hope is that future, that positive-mindedness in you that sees that, okay, yes, we can call it the ego better kind of life. You're saying that, yes, I just hope something is going to happen. Hope is the foundation of faith. Now, hope becomes stronger when you can see that God also promised you the same thing you're expecting. And then you now take action based on that word of God. But hope is where it all starts from. So no matter what happens to you, no matter what you're going through, I don't know the challenge you're facing. I don't know whether you're experiencing any delay or any form of negative situation. That looks like, God, if you were with me, this shouldn't be happening. Just like Gideon said, if God was with us, why are we going through all this manner of problems? Maybe that's what your situation is right now. You've heard promises, you've prayed, you've fasted, you've done everything you think that should be done. You are not lazy. I've been in that place where I work morning till night. You can even call me, it's only work we see. You can see work, but there's no results. Maybe that's what you are going through. And you're like, when am I going to be free from this? Your question is, when will the change come? When will my change come? Just like Job. He said, even though he slay me, I will yet hope in him. And you're like, when will my result come? When will the promises of God be fulfilled in my life? Maybe you're at that state where you're like, maybe I should just give up. Are you facing suicidal thoughts? Are you even in the place where you're like, let God just come. Let me just die or something. Maybe it's not that bad. But you know that sometimes you're like, when will my result come? Take heart today and rejoice, because God has heard your cries. God has heard the deep cries in your corner of the bed. When you are alone and you cry and bleed in your heart, God is saying, I'm still here with you. Remember, all these years, God was with Abraham. God was with Job. God was with Moses. Situations did not prove that God was with him, but God was with all these people. And eventually, what God promised them came to the limelight, came to the light of day. So today, we want to look at a few things. What leads to hopelessness? What leads to hopelessness? As we said earlier, hope is another word for inner sight, meaning that you can see from your inside. Inside of you, you can see the future. Outside, nothing may look like it, but you can see from your inside. So, hope is another word for inner sight. It's a description of your ability to see the future, the ability to see a light at the end of the tunnel. What leads to hopelessness? Number one, when the situation or problems of life look bigger than the solution, then hopelessness comes. And let me just tell you a story. Sometimes ago, when I was much more younger than this, a brother of mine, I think, was trying to tell me that, do you know your finger is bigger than a house? And I was like, how is that possible? He said, do you want to really prove it? He said, take one finger, put it in front of her eyes. If you can do that now, put your finger in front of your eyes and try to see if that finger is not bigger than every other thing. If you put one finger in front of your eyes and you look across the streets, despite the fact that there's a building there, that your finger will be bigger than that house. Why? Two things. Number one, proximity and perspective. That finger has blocked every other thing. That is how hopelessness comes. Hopelessness is that state at which you only see the finger, which is the problem, instead of seeing the big picture of God that He has before you. That means you have gazed too much on the problem instead of gazing too much or so much on the solution. That was the case when Goliath was trying to dehumanize the people of God, when he was trying to disrespect them and bring shame to them and their God. All of them could just see the size of Goliath. They failed to see the size of God. Who is the solution, or who was the solution they were looking for? They couldn't see that God was bigger. And then a small boy called David was able to see, because he didn't look so much on Goliath. From his statement, you will see that he was looking unto God. He was looking at the size of God, not the size of his problem. Hopelessness comes when the problem is closer to your sight than your sight on God who solves the problem. So you and I want to check once again that, where have I been looking at? What have I been putting my attention on? And what is the second thing that leads to hopelessness? Lack of gratitude. Gratitude is the beginning of hopefulness. When you begin to lose gratitude for all the things that God has done, for all the good experiences you've had in life, then hopelessness begins to creep in. It begins to creep in without your knowledge. So you and I want to check that, where have I been putting my attention? And one of the ways to redirect your attention is to look back and check all the things that God has done in time past. For example, somebody is looking for a job. Will somehow lose sight of the fact that he was able to finish well in the university or wherever you finish from, maybe polytechnic, maybe even if it's SSC, that you are able to even succeed in all these places. You begin to lose sight of that and see, all these years I've been looking for a good job, I could not find one. But why not just take your eyes away from that problem for a moment and look at all the things that God has done? You will see how much hope will be built up inside of you. So instead of looking at a problem, face what God has done. I was watching, I think I shared it on the platform over the week. I saw this music by Nathaniel Bassey, and it was showing this guy that just got sacked from his job, very good job, and he was going to commit suicide. He was going to jump from the top of a tall building, and he forgot everything that God has done. He forgot the fact that God was the one that gave him this job in the first place, and he lost sight of everything, every good thing, and he just felt, let me kill myself now. However, after a while, he was able to see all that God has done. Remember when God rescued you from accident. Remember when God gave you success in school, when you thought you were going to have extra year, and He rescued you. Remember when it was like there was no more hope, and then somebody just rose up and helped you out of the blues. Remember all those times. Remember when it looked like you were going to fail, and you eventually succeeded. Remember. That is how to bring up gratitude again. Just think about all the good things that God has done. Forget what you think He has not done. Look at all the things He has done. Were you pregnant and you delivered your baby safely? Maybe people have looked at you and they thought you were not going to marry, and now you married. And now all you are thinking about is the fact that, oh, I've not been able to have a child. Or maybe you finished from school and you're looking for a job, but you forgot the time that it looked like you were never going to finish from school. But you finished now. You've forgotten all the goodness of God. You and I need to start remembering. Think once again. God, thank you for all you did in time past. And you see how much hope will be built up in you. You see how much faith will be built up in you. Why does Satan want you to be hopeless? There is a reason why Satan wants you to be hopeless. And that is why it doesn't matter what God has done in time past. The devil wants to bring that finger, that tiny problem, to block your face, to block your spiritual sight from seeing what God has promised. So why does Satan want you to become hopeless? Now somebody will say, I'm not going through all this. Everything is going fine for me. But guess what? I know that time will still come when challenges will look so big that you almost forget God. And that's why this message is for everyone. Whether this is your situation at this moment, or maybe it's not, there's somebody that this message can be for. Maybe it's for you in the future. Why does Satan want you to become hopeless? Once you know this, you can avoid it in the future. Number one, lack of faith is better than lack of hope. The devil knows that the moment you lose hope, you cannot have faith, because faith is built on hope. So if you lose your hope, you cannot have faith. And when you don't have faith, the Bible talks about faith. It said, faith, we should hold on to the shield of faith. Faith is your defense. So if the defense is broken, the devil can attack at will. So that is why you want your hope to be in place. You want your sight of the future to be in place, so that you can now look at the word of God and build faith so that you can stand strong. Why does Satan want you to be hopeless? He wants to lose hope so that you cannot have faith. Number two, lack of hope leads to suicidal thoughts. Man, I've seen this. I've seen how somebody can lose hope and within weeks the person will die. I was shocked at how the power of hope actually is the thing that keeps us going. Somebody that I know became sick. She was full of life. Everything was fine. And the moment she heard that she's been diagnosed of a terminal disease, she lost the willingness to be alive. She just wanted to die. With her children there, with everybody that she loved there, she didn't want to live again. And guess what? Death came within weeks. She lost everything. She didn't want to eat. She just wanted to die. And she died. Because hope was gone. I've seen other testimonies of people who had similar sicknesses. And then they lived. And then they are still alive. After several years, or maybe even decades, they are still alive. Yet somebody had it, and within weeks, the person was gone because she suddenly lost hope in life. She didn't even want to push at all. So, lack of hope leads to suicidal thoughts. The devil wants to destroy the child of God. And he knows that the moment you lose hope, every other thing in the kingdom stops working. And that brings us to the third point. Lack of hope is automatic failure, because it keeps you from trying at all. If you can't try, then you can't win. And without hope, you can't try. For example, somebody who runs in a race, what's their hope? To win, to become first, second, or third. But if you don't run at all, you don't even have the chance of being the last in that race. You can't even be called a participant. So the devil wants you not to even try, because the moment anyone does not try, the person has failed. For example, if you had an exam before you, and you don't even try at all. You're like, oh, no. I know I can't pass that course. And you didn't write it. And it came. Then that's automatic failure. The person cannot see promotion because the person did not even try. So the devil knows that the moment you lose hope, you cannot try. And if you can't try, you can't win. That's the third point. And then the fourth point is hopelessness brings sadness. And why is this important? Sadness separates you from the benefits of salvation. The Bible says in Isaiah 12:3, it says, therefore with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. What is in the well of salvation? Peace, healing, all manner of good things. It says you cannot draw from the well of salvation. one's joy is withered from the sons of men. Everything the person sees will be negative. Why? Because joy is drawn away. Joy is withered away. Joy is gone. Sadness separates you from the benefits of salvation. The Bible says in Galatians 5:22 that the fruit of the Spirit is love. What is the next thing? Joy. If joy is not there, there is no Holy Spirit. That means the person has suppressed the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit always dwells with joy. The Bible says, in the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. That means when the joy is not full, when joy is not full, there is no God. It doesn't matter what circumstances people go through, what problems people face. The moment there is no joy, there is no God around. But even if you are facing negative situations and there is joy, you know God is still present. So one of the ways to chase God away is to allow sadness. It doesn't matter what you're going through now. Just make sure that your joy is not negotiated for any other thing. Don't let the devil steal your joy. Because without joy, you can't win. Without joy, you can't get all the benefits. When joy is destroyed, then every other thing is gone. The Bible says about David and his men. He said when they came back from battle and they saw that their wives and children had been captured, they said they cried until there was no more strength in them. He said, but David strengthened himself in the Lord. He made sure that joy returned back to him. He strengthened himself. He put hope in him. How did I know his hope was restored? Because he took step. He destroyed sadness in the other guys. And he was able to encourage them to go back to battle, even though they were just coming from one. And they were able to win, to overtake, and recover. That means, if you and I, we allow joy to come back to our lives, you will overtake and recover. It doesn't matter what you've lost in time past. If you allow joy to come back, if you strengthen yourself in the Lord, then you will overtake and recover everything the enemy has stolen from you. And that will be your portion in Jesus' name. Hopelessness brings sadness, and sadness implies the absence of the Holy Spirit, as discussed earlier. What does hopelessness bring? Hopelessness brings separation from the kingdom of God. How do we know that? The Bible says in Romans 14:17, that for the kingdom of God is not in eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That means once righteousness is gone, peace is gone. Joy is gone. There is no more kingdom of God. And that's one of the ways that you and I can actually measure if you are in the kingdom of God or not. Check if your righteousness is in place. If it's in place, then 1/3. Check if your peace is in place. Because the moment you sin, peace gets destroyed. Make sure your peace is in place. Then lastly, joy. If joy is not there, then something is still wrong. If righteousness is there, peace is there, and joy is not there, something is still wrong. You want to make sure that these three, four things of the kingdom are in place. That is how you check whether you are still stable in the kingdom of God. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So how do we restore hope as we close today? We are going to check two ways today. Just two out of the many things. Number one is gratitude. As we leave this program today, it doesn't matter what your level of hopefulness is, take a paper, begin to remember, even if it's one thing, remember, thank God, dance and praise God for that one thing. Do you have a job and salary keeps coming in every month? Maybe it's not even enough, but it still comes in. Thank God for that. Call your whole family and tell them, we are going to praise God today. Why? Because God is still supplying our need. When you praise God for that, you will see how much hope is restored to you. Is there nothing else you think you can be thankful of? Maybe everything is truly not working, but your breath is working. Your life is working. You are still alive. Thank God for life. Thank God and appreciate Him for life. Because if you go to the hospital, you will know how much it costs for people to breathe oxygen. I see people here and there with this oxygen cylinder. They carry it everywhere they are going, because the moment that thing cuts off, their life is cut off. Why? Because they suddenly cannot breathe the fresh, free oxygen that everybody has. They cannot breathe it again. And now they have to carry artificial oxygen with them everywhere they go. And then that means they will go for a refill. And of course, it's not free. but you have it. There is always a reason. There is always something to be thankful for. There is always something to be grateful for. And lastly today, what should we do to restore hope? Restore back your confidence in God. How do we do that? It's still also through gratitude. Just go and look at all the things He has done in time past. If He did it before, He will do it again. Same God back then, same God right now. The same God that did it before, He will do it again. That is how to restore hope. Just check. If God did it before, He will do it again, because He doesn't change. See, men change. Men fail. But God does not fail. If He did it before, He will do it again. He is the same God. See, one of the ways by which we can trust in God is because He doesn't change. Men change, men fail, but our God, He doesn't fail. And that is why we can trust in Him. We can hope in Him and stir up faith again. No matter what you are going through, does it look like God is not answering your prayers? Does it look like you're going through delays? And you're like, God, but I prayed, I fasted. Maybe the same people who are in your situation, they've even long gone before you. For example, maybe somebody trusting God for the fruit of the womb for children. And then suddenly, two of them were praying, and then God answered one. And it looks like, God, but we were praying together. Why did you pass me by? One thing you should also remember is that if God has answered somebody beside you, it means God is in your neighborhood. It means you are next in line. Is it your brother that God has answered? Is it your sister? Is it your friend? Is it your neighbor? God is in the neighborhood, and you are next in line. So today, I just want to encourage you and encourage myself that no matter what, keep your anchor stable. Job 14:7-9, as we close today, it says, "For there is hope for a tree, if it is cut down, that it will sprout again, and that its tender roots shoot will not cease. Though its root may grow old in the earth, and its stump may die in the ground, yet at the scent of water, it will bud and bring forth branches like a plant." Don't give up hope. How do you bring forth the scent of water? Just go to the Word of God. Go to testimonies. Look at time past that God has helped you. Then you will see how hope will come up again. How your tender shoots shall come up again. And then Hebrews 6:19, today says, "This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast." Make sure your hope is sure and steadfast in Christ the Savior, and then you will be surprised at how much hope can be stirred up again. Just take your eyes away from the problem. Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. I hope someone has been blessed today. If it's just one person that has been blessed today, then I'm fulfilled today. Anchored on hope. This will be the series for a few weeks, and you're going to be seeing a lot of things, a few ways by which our hope can be stirred up. And you can actually even encourage others, even if this is not for you, or you feel it's not for you at the moment. That is it today. God has spoken to you. Take step of faith. Be grateful. Take time. Praise God. Worship Him. And you see how hope will be restored in you. Praise God. Okay, so we can call it a day. I hope you've been blessed. Please invite someone. Maybe you know someone who is feeling dejected, hopeless, or just believe, oh, this person needs to hear this. It's going to be a series for at least 2, 3, 4 weeks. And then I will tell you the big thing that will be coming after it also. So please invite others, and thank you also for joining today. I hope you've been blessed in one way or the other. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the privilege to learn at your feet again today. Glory be to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray in the mighty name of Jesus that you stir up hope in everyone again today. Grace for us to take the steps we've learned today, to go back to your word, to think about all your faithfulness in time past, and not to be blinded by the tiny finger of the challenges we are facing, but to look at you, our God, just like David looked at you, our God, and didn't look at his problem, who is Goliath, and he was able to overcome. Grant us grace to be able to do the same also. In Jesus' mighty name, we are prayed. Amen. Praise God. See you next week, and be blessed. Thank you for joining, and may God bless you indeed, in Jesus' name. Amen. Bye. thegoodsuccess.com.